Peter, earlier, before you came on, I was talking about bin Laden, and you had mentioned how he basically took over an organization that was in place. And then I guess he changed it to Al-Qaeda, did he not?
Yeah, he morphed this network, this fundraising network, into the base, as they translate it, and essentially a worldwide terror network based first in with this fundraising network for the Mujahideen. So he had all these brick-and-mortar outposts. But more importantly, he had people, contacts that he had fought with in Afghanistan from around the world. For example, there was an Uzbeki named Wali Khan Amin Shah from Uzbekistan that was also called Osama Asamori. Bin Laden called him the Lion. He was beloved of Bin Laden. Then there was this guy, Abdul Rajak Janjalani from the Philippines. His group was called Abu Sayyaf, which translates Father of the Sword. So there were these various affiliate groups that had essentially trained on the Afghan-Pakistan border and fought and were battle-hardened, and many of them trained with American weaponry. And there were a number of, as you know, Stinger missiles, I think 500, that were unaccounted for after the war. So bin Laden had this base of operations. He was physically capable in terms of his international capabilities. He went to Afghanistan, the son of this huge construction empire.
Yeah,
he flew in, he literally flew in bulldozers and helped to build the tunnels and some of the infrastructure that confounds us to this day.
Well, he built Tora Bora, didn't he?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but he also understood how to move money, how to smuggle internationally, he was just so capable. So you have this fatal combination of bin Laden's international capability with the virulent hatred of these Wahhabi Islamic radicals. Now, you had asked earlier, you know, why do they hate us so much? I mean, if we had helped them, and obviously we have an open society here, well, that's one of the reasons. There was a fellow named Qutb, who was the father of modern, kind of modern radical Islamic thought, and much of the Egyptian Brotherhood, which was one of the precursors to Al-Qaeda. Many of those leaders of the Egyptian Brotherhood were influenced by Qutb. He actually lived in America. And what he wants to do and what wanted to do and what bin Laden purports to want to do is to return Islam to the 7th century caliphate. It's this image of what Islam was before. In their words, it was corrupted. They also have the sense, the reason I named my book A Thousand Years for Revenge, it's about the Crusades. You know, they have this expression in Baluchistan, which is where Ramzi Yousef is from, and they say, if it takes me 10 centuries to kill my enemy, I will wait 1,000 years for revenge. So it gives you an idea of what we're up against. This is not typical of all of Islam, but there's enough of a radical element that has gotten currency and frankly is not repudiated often enough by mainstream Muslims, so that they're able to come, in this case, come into America, establish a beachhead. And I believe that the plan for 9/11, literally, while it may, the actual plot itself was not conceived until the mid-90s, I believe that the thought to do a catastrophic act of terror in America was, the seeds of it were planted in the late 1980s and early 90s.
Probably indeed. Now, would you consider, and then I want to get back on the timeline here, but would you consider Osama bin Laden right now to be the worst terrorist out there right now?
Yeah, many people believe that he's really kind of a front for Dr. Ayman al-Zawahiri, who is this very capable surgeon who was part of the original group that murdered Sadat. And many people believe that bin Laden has been more of a figurehead, but clearly bin Laden is the figurehead, he represents this most dangerous group that, you know, Al-Qaeda. And by the way, like Mark Twain said about his death, their demise has been, you know, predicted multiple times by U.S. intelligence officials. Most recently, Kofor Black, who ran the counterterrorism center at the CIA, and later now is running counterterrorism for the State Department, predicted in January that, you know, that 70% of the leadership had fallen, they were degraded, and then, you know, very shortly thereafter, we had the Madrid bombing. So Al-Qaeda is a multi-headed hydra, the head of which you cut off one leader and five other heads grow back. They're incredibly capable, tightly organized. And what we'll get later on to my criticism of the 9/11 Commission, but one of the greatest failings of the 9/11 Commission was in this assumption that this group, like Ramzi Youssef in particular, who I consider to be one of the keys to the story, that he was part of a loosely organized group of Sunni Islamists. Now, that's the exact wording in the final report of the 9/11 Commission, when in fact he was the chief bomb maker for a very tightly organized Al-Qaeda cell that started in New York in the late 1980s. Mm-hmm. And went all the way through to 9/11. The second attack on the World Trade Center was Ramzi Youssef's return to the Trade Center. And one of the most significant findings in my first book, A Thousand Years for Revenge, is that Youssef, the original World Trade Center bomber, was the architect, with his uncle, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, of the 9/11 plot. And it was conceived in the Philippines in 1994. There were 10 men, at least, training at that point in U.S. Flight schools. There were 6 targets, including in your own town, the Transamerica Tower, the Sears Tower in Chicago, the Trade Center, the Pentagon, CIA headquarters, and an unnamed nuclear facility. This was extremely well advanced, the plot, at that point. And Colonel Mendoza, the interrogator, the Richard Clark of the Philippines, who I interviewed in 2002, he told me very specifically that when he interrogated Youssef's partner, Abdul Hakim Murad, he very specifically outlined this plot. Murad had trained in 4 U.S. flight schools, George, in 1991 and 92, had his commercial pilot's license, and bragged to Colonel Mendoza that I will fly the plane into the Trade Center. He even said that he chose the Trade Center originally for Youssef, and there's little doubt that the U.S. government had this information in 1995, and they just dropped the ball. But it was, you know, we should go back and talk about how they could have stopped Youssef the first time, and that would have clearly interdicted 9/11.